Tess had a fantastic idea last night. I have to give her credit for this. She was suggesting that Oscar winners simply stand up and wave to the crowd and never go to the stage.
Oh,
and
I see.
Someone just bring them the Oscar.
Bring them the Oscar. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I know. I loved it. I thought
that'd be great.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah, that sure is. That's fantastic.
I was so angry at those the music people. They should have been blasting the music on people so many times last night.
Yeah, it was obvious that they were going to let people speak. They were going to let people go as long as they wanted to take. They were going to let them take that time. I mean, even when you had groups of 5, 6, 7 people up there, they let them all speak.
That was awful.
Oh, it sure was. It took an already terribly boring Oscars, and it just made it even more so.
Well, they played the music so lightly that gave you a hint for a long time that you were over time, you know, and then they would never like raise it up to the point that actually blasted the people out like they did at the Golden Globes a couple years ago. In one of my favorite award show moments.
The hundreds of talented people who work at Pixar.
Well, listen to the announcer who comes in so confidently and comfortably.
Yeah, it's our partners at Disney, especially Tom Schumacher, for his support and mentorship. We'd like to thank our amazing cast of characters.
Listen to that. It just blasts.
Great.
We have to thank Tom Hanks. Jim Allen. Oh my gosh, Joan Cusack, Kelsey Grammer, Don Rickles, John Ratzenberger.
Don't try your luck.
Jim Varney, Still Harris. They're so amazing.
This is the nerve to continue.
But not as amazing
as that. This is the announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome two-time Golden Globe winner and nominee for Notting Hill, Julia Roberts.
Ladies and gentlemen, that reminds me.
When the announcer comes in, that's the end. That is it.
Did you see Geraldo Rivera over the weekend?
Oh, yes.
Thought he was shot.
Oh, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been shot. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you talking about?
This guy's under attack with his brother next to him. He's got to talk about his brother. And it's like the minute he runs the clip, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, we're under attack. That's the first thing, the minute the camera is running.
The second he knows,
he's pushed record. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, then he sees the red light go on in the camera. And did you see how first he explained the whole thing he went through? And we took a bullet here in the headlight, and we took another round through this window, which this one had my name on it.
Oh, I know. Shut up, Geraldo.
Acting as if these people knew he was in there. Get Geraldo. Yeah, he's write his name on that bullet.
They don't know who he is.
Oh, hell no. That was just so ridiculous. And then after he goes through the whole thing and walks around both the vehicles and everything else, then he plays the clip. Let's play the clip. We had the cameras running when we were under attack, and it starts in the beginning again with him walking around the vehicles talking about the rounds. And then he apologizes for the repetition. As if he wanted it said all over again.
I know, he probably did.
Of course he did.
He also got out of the vehicle. His driver is like, we gotta get out of here, man. He's like, no, I gotta see how my brothers are.
Yeah.
And he makes him stop the vehicle, and he gets out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You see all the military guys, too, standing over by the side, and they're sitting there thinking, oh, man, look at this. This is embarrassing. Look at this Geraldo walking around. I mean, all the soldiers that were really involved, that were protecting everybody for real, they're just at ease, off to the side, tolerating Geraldo and all of his antics and his sensationalism.
Yeah, that was an amazing scene.
Oh, man, wasn't that something? Wow, is that sickening.
You know, I have to say, in terms of the war, last night was such a bummer night in that, you know, I have questions about the war as much as anyone. Believe me, I try to be as supportive as I can. I think I'm like a lot of people in that you cut the president a lot of slack, which I don't even think he realizes how much slack he has. You know, he gets so defensive about things. He wants to be absolutely right when you're absolutely wrong. And there's a lot of gray area there. But last night, to me, shows why so many people, you know, declare the media to be so liberal.
Definitely.
And it really irritates me because I don't truly think, you know, it's like we've said frequently, well, you know, nobody called me into a meeting and said, hey, time to be a member of the liberal media. Here's your, you know, ground rules and all that. What happens is you get something like that where you have a collection of a very small group of people who have very like views, and they get a lot of airtime, And so you see, last night, every political joke was a slam, basically, on Bush.
Oh, absolutely. The all national... coming from Billy Crystal, mostly.
Yeah, I know, Billy Crystal. I was surprised.
I was totally shocked. Absolutely. I mean, I was braced for, first of all, Tim Robbins right out of the gate. And I was like, wow, this thing has started pretty smooth. It's going along real well. And, boy, this is going to be an immediate slam on Bush, because they said that they probably weren't going to edit with the time delay in there. They weren't going to edit any political remarks. And I'm like, here we go. Tim Robbins has himself a podium, and he's going to go on and on.
Did you catch
that? He said he didn't.
But did you notice how he goes, oh, and one more thing?
Oh, and I held my breath. When he said, in one more thing, I went, here we go. Here we go.
You know what, though?
He's trying to be gracious, but...
He knew what he was doing, though.
Oh, sure.
He was just having a ball inside going,
absolutely.
Oh, everybody in the nation is just
waiting for it.
Every Republican is sweating their cojones off.
Definitely. No question about it.
And then he makes a great comment. You know, the movie was about a very serious subject. And, you know, if you're going to make a statement about something like that, that's
really
bothering me.
That's perfectly good. That's perfectly good and well. Yeah, no question.
Although I get a little annoyed. When you have X amount of time to go up there, to me, it's only fair to say, hey, look, you win, you got this amount, what, 90 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever.
Yeah, 90.
Spend it however you want. If you're going to spend 40 seconds talking about Chernobyl, then you can't thank as many people.
Exactly. And then turn around and thank everybody on top of it.
That was a perfect example of somebody who the music should have just wailed her.
On that Chernobyl thing, no question about it. You just start lecturing everybody, going on and on and
on. We know about Chernobyl.
Oh, I know it. And that's the thing.
This is your movie. You're not that important. Stop acting so important. And if you're so important, then you don't have time to thank these little tiny people in your life.
Yep.
They're nothing compared to that.
Exactly. No question. And then the guy that started talking about, we were in a hole in Vietnam, and I feel we're going back into that hole again this time.
Oh.
And then the next thing you know, some clapping.
Well,
and that was, that's what blew my mind, because we were going along, other than Billy Crystal, who took every opportunity to take a swipe at Bush, which amazed me. Oh, the National Guard swipe.
That has turned out to be such a cheap shot, as it turns out.
I know it. Yeah, well, leave it to Michael Moore to start that deal.
Exactly.
I mean, who else but Michael Moore?
Well, the National Guard thing has been pretty well proven to be pretty bogus.
Oh, you know,
basically,
definitely.
He got weaseled into the National Guard, this elite program. He didn't really probably have the grades for it or whatever. But, you know, who wouldn't do that in those circumstances?
No,
if you had
course.
The connections.
It's the way it was.
It doesn't make him any less of a weasel, but everyone would have done the same thing.
Yep.
Almost anyone at that time would have done the same thing. He also pulled a little flim-flam activity somewhere along the line when he was transferred to, was it Arkansas?
Yeah.
He obviously skipped some weekends or did something, because he makes them all up at the end. He has a ton of days his last 2 months.
Right.
And he has minimal days in the middle, and he gets his honorable discharge. It's like, okay,
but he
whatever.
Made it up. He made it up.
Is this worth spending 5 days of debate over? I mean, in the end, I really felt bad that it received that much attention.
Well, it occupied the country, I mean, for days on end.
But I got caught up in it, too. I wanted to know. You know, I wanted to know, okay, what did he do? What did he pull here?
He came on so strong.
And then when it was over, I felt like, well, that was really dumb. That was really not a good use of time. And then the John Kerry thing comes up about his little girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it got 2 seconds of time.
Absolutely. Didn't hardly get any coverage whatsoever anywhere.
It was very strange, too, the way that story developed. And the father said something about John Kerry being a sleazeball.
Sleazebag, yeah.
And I never heard the father say that he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He did come out to say, you know, there's nothing really untoward here. I voted for John Kerry. I think he said, I'm going to vote for John Kerry. Did he say
Yes, he said he's going to vote for John Kerry. Absolutely.
But he never came back and said, I didn't make the sleazeball remark. So I thought there was as much to that as there was to the National Guard.
Exactly. And I still think there's something to that somehow.
And I think that John Kerry, I have a feeling there's a little penis problem in that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was moving and shaking with Morgan Fairchild.
No question. Oh, yes.
That's another who wouldn't.
Right, but still.
But nonetheless, okay, so the National Guard thing. So Bush takes a hit, not only in the media, for like 4 or 5 days. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these totally in love with George Bush guys who just wants to, you know, never think that anything has ever been done wrong in this White House. But nonetheless, I thought that was kind of a cheap deal, the whole National Guard thing.
Well,
so then he takes a shot at the Oscars last night, And I'm thinking, you know, that's really stupid. And then
we've been through the whole thing.
I know.
I mean, everybody had, it's like the guy was in the hot seat for days on end over the issue. Now it's over with. It's the easiest joke in town, and Billy Crystal has to resurrect it.
Well, I'm thinking, too, I don't remember any Clinton draft-dodging jokes at the Oscars either.
There you go. There you go.
So to me, and I could be wrong about that, does anybody remember any draft? I certainly don't remember any. Certainly not Billy Crystal.
And if there was, I'm sure Hollywood laughed if that was the case, as opposed to like, yeah, get him type attitude with the audience.
Well, I really think that kind of a scene that you saw last night where you see all these jokes, and, you know, this guy, the rabbit hole guy, I want to talk about him.
Yeah.
Because he really infuriated me.
And see, that's what surprised me last night, is because you're expecting all these remarks from the cast of characters, your Susan Sarandons and Tim Robbins and all that sort of thing. And that's what amazed me, that it was coming from Billy Crystal and some of these basic, boring award-type people. It was these
documentary winner or short film winner.
Right, right. It was those knuckle brains that were out there throwing the crap around.
Well,
and that's what really burned me up.
Well, what makes me mad about that rabbit hole remark is Vietnam, obviously, a disaster.
Of course.
It went on for years. It started with, let's see, did Nam start with Truman or Eisenhower? I mean, it's so far back. You're talking about multiple administrations were involved in it. I mean,
yeah.
We're talking like five administrations it took to get out of Vietnam. So here we are 1 year into Iraq. And, you know, in June is when we actually start pulling out. They can't even come up with a constitution in time. I mean, they're working on a constitution right now, and they're having big problems because a lot of people over there want to have Islamic rule of law, or they want to involve the religion in the legal portion of the democracy.
Right.
And Bremer's saying, no, Matt, can't do it. Can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And our administration is trying to say, for example, that city councils have to have a certain percentage of women on them. And this is a big problem.
Oh, are you kidding?
So
you know it.
This guy, by suggesting that we're going to the rabbit hole, okay, look, the war's over. That's done. I mean, you can argue about it. There's plenty of time to argue about that.
Oh, geez,
but
please.
We're beyond that. To me, our job right now is to make sure, or to do our best, to see that the 500 or 600 people who died do not lose their lives in vain. And it's not the time to quit now, or you say, oh, it's a mistake, forget it, let's pull out. It's time to hunker down and try to make this work somehow. I mean, whether
you
it's
to
make it
now,
or yeah.
You're past the point of no return.
And there's already this immense amount of pressure to get out.
Just to leave everything.
Hurry up and get out.
Oh, you can't just leave everything the way it is right now.
No.
There's no way you can do that. You're in way too deep.
It took 7 years of occupation to be done with Germany, or Japan. It took 3 years to be done with Germany, and those were countries that were cooperating with us entirely. Now, here you have a country that's not cooperating with us, and we want to be out of there less than a year after the war is over and expect to have, you know, our achievements completed. Well, it's very dubious. And when this guy suggests that, you know, we're in this rabbit hole again. He is one of the types who is saying, get out now! Just get out now!
I know. I wanted to take a cane that was 100 feet long and just extend it out from backstage and take a hold of his neck and just yank him right off stage.
What he's doing, though, is he is the type of person who is almost ensuring that those lives were lost in vain.
Oh, yeah.
That they were lost for nothing. Because if you pull out now, you assure yourself of that.
Oh, of course you do.
I think a lot of people in that house last night, they would love to see that. They would love to see this thing end badly. You know what?
Oh, of course they would.
I'm still pulling for our country to have done something good. And
they'd love to have this happen and have the whole thing turn into a huge debacle and have everything go right back the way it was and then use that to just bang away at Bush all the more.
But how American is that to want to be right more than to want to actually have done the right thing or to try to make the best of it?
Yeah.
I think that's completely un-American.
Yeah, I know. And these are the people that care so much about the loss of life and everything else. I mean, here you had a dictator that just totally wiped out tens of thousands of people just on his birthday. Just randomly pop people off and everything else. And this is Hollywood that's so concerned.
Well, if Clinton was doing it, it would be a humanitarian Ukrainian war, and there wouldn't be a lot of discussion about it.
Believe me, you're not kidding.
Don't get me wrong. You'd have the Republicans bitching about it.
But, well, I mean, that's natural.
It'd be the same stupidity in reverse.
Right.
So, you know, anybody that wants to act so sure of themselves like Sean Penn, the only thing that actors know besides that there's no WMDs.
Oh, shut up.
I guess only actors know that. That's really interesting. Do you have your own CIA, Sean?
Yeah, right. I know.
So you got lucky, and they didn't find any WMDs. You really feel good about yourself?
He didn't know there were no WMDs there. Of course
His
not.
His friend Bill Clinton thought there were WMDs there.
Absolutely. That goes way back. No question about it.
I can't stand that guy. And he's such a good actor. It really upsets me.
I know it.
So I was trying to find a mental way in my brain last night to go through his movie career and devalue it. Just to make myself feel better. And I started going through his roles like 21 Grams, Mystic River. He's in Dead Man Walking. And I started going, I started thinking to myself, oh, he's always the same guy in his movies. You know, except for like Sweet and Low. And he's always this tortured guy, you know, just put in these horrible positions, and he's always depressed, and you know, it's the same role over and over. Big deal, right,
dealing with some issue.
I was trying to turn him into Charles Bronson, basically, in my mind. It didn't work out too well. He really is a fantastic actor.
Well, that's just it. You can't take that away from him.
I know. It's really frustrating.
I know. It's really. and they just kept saying all along on that pregame that he was going to win because he was a good boy lately. And he had Hollywood so riled up, and lately he's just been quiet and has done all the right things, so it's time for him to get his award.
I wanted Murray to win. I wanted Murray to win so bad.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie yet, Lost in Translation?
No, I want to see it, though.
It's on DVD.
A lot of fun. Oh, is it?
Yeah, you can buy it.
Okay, all right.
You can buy it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great movie. Murray is so good in it. Did you think the clip was funny? I wondered from a standpoint of somebody who hadn't seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
When you see the clips, you want to see the movie?
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
No, but remember, I'm a giant Bill Murray fan. I just look at Bill Murray, and I so adore the guy that every time I see him, no matter what the clip is, I want to go see that movie. But I think the clips are very funny.
Well, he was fantastic in that movie, and it would have been really cool to see him win it, and it would have been such a positive, funny speech.
I know.
His Golden Globe speech was just fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess I just had to be happy that he won that.
I know. And that's just it. But it's so political as to who wins the Oscars.
Well,
it's really amazing when you look into it and why that particular person is getting the award that time. And it's funny how, well, so-and-so should have gotten the award a couple of years ago when they did blah, 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 but you know, the reason why, they finally have to recognize him this time around, and then everything else that anyone did in that moment, be damned, because it's time to honor this person who deserved it 2 years ago, you know, all this sort of thing.
I ended up wondering, why did Sean Penn and Tim Robbins win?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many of those people who vote, you know, factor in a couple of those other outside things, like their personal views,
their
cojones in terms of being out front. And Sean Penn, who actually, you know, it's funny, he talks about this roller coaster called life, which I'm just beginning to enjoy. I'm thinking, you know, that's really pathetic. You really think the public is going to have any respect for that comment? This is a guy that on the eve of war goes in the opponent's territory on a fact-finding mission.
Yeah,
and he wonders why.
Ridiculous.
He wonders why life is a roller coaster. He none of that beats his wife, tortures his wife, circa Madonna,
right?
1986 or whatever.
Right.
Gee, I wonder why your life's such a roller coaster, Sean.
Yeah, exactly. It's all self-made.
Well, anyway,
he builds his own track and then has to ride it and then complains about it.
We can get into this stuff after the newscast. So much to talk about with the Oscars.
Yeah, there really is. I love the fact that the young New Zealand girl, by the way, Blue Whale.
The 13-year-old?
Yeah, the girl with the three names already.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny because the way these people with their acting, they just constantly talk about what a tremendous craft it is that they're so expert at.
I know.
And everything else. And I love the fact that this girl has no training whatsoever, which goes back to you.
It's like flying a plane.
Well, only in this case, you didn't need any practice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's what I love about it. She was up for an Oscar and she never practiced. I like that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, we can talk about the Oscars later.
I really didn't want to get started on this.
No, there's a lot to talk about.
But just real quickly.
Yeah, I know.
Is there any more annoying person on the planet than the guy in the pregame show, Billy Bush. Did you watch that show, the half-hour show beforehand?
Yeah,
on
I watched it. Yeah, I watched it.
You know
that.
The guy who did the Uma Oprah thing?
Yes.
Is he the most annoying little putz you've ever seen?
No, of course.
How did he get that job? What is this?
I don't know. I really don't.
When he was sitting between the chicks and stuff.
Oh, and here we are, just doing a little more in the seating. Okay, get this. Ready? Uma. Oprah.
Oh.
Oprah. Uma.
Oh.
I had to do it.
Oh, you idiot.
That was so painful. The cringe factor was 10.
Oh, I know it.
So it wasn't just me?
I hated that.
How about this? You opened up on Broadway just a few nights ago playing a character named Oscar. Coincidence.
Oh, a jackass.
Idiot.
Alec Baldwin. Did you get the impression that Alec Baldwin just wanted to swat this guy away?
Definitely.
You know he's got this temper. But he's there at the Oscars. He's probably really on edge, you know, knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the cooler is fantastic. I saw it over the weekend.
Like it would be.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And Baldwin's sitting there, probably stressed. He's with the daughter, too. He's getting this big custody battle. And then Sandra Bullock's sitting behind him. The guy leans over Alec Baldwin and talks. That was so obnoxious. I couldn't believe he did that.
Possibly. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be fun.
Baldwin wants him out of there.
Ross, I say A, B, C. Always.
Always be accepting. No, that doesn't rhyme.
Closing. Thank you very much.
And look, goodbye.
Behind Alec Baldwin is Sandra Bullock. Sandra, you look unbelievable.
To this woman over here. I'm sorry. Okay.
Did I just interrupt you?
Yes, you did. That's okay. It's what you do. Are you leaning over Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable here. Alec, you okay? I'm practically lap dancing a best of
Alec Baldwin. And this is the most beautiful woman at the Oscars right here. Stunning. The best looking girl here.
You're not so bad yourself. How are you feeling tonight? What a night.
I feel good.
What a putz.
What to call him.
What a word for what a jackass this guy is.
I have to ask you the pressing question first. Everybody wants to know, what are you wearing tonight?
What am I wearing? Boxers.
Why would you ask Bill Murray what he's wearing?
I don't know. He thinks that, you know what? He honestly thinks he's being funny.
I know. He thinks he's really funny.
He thinks that is absolutely hysterical.
That guy caused me so much pain and cringing before the...
It's just so bad.
I know.
You know who was really bad, too, but she's easy to look at? Nikki Hilton.
Yeah, I saw her.
She was on E! For the longest time because they actually had E! Going with this stuff.
I saw some of that.
And, was she out of her element. Oh, man, it was so painful.
Well, Maria Menounos came on.
She was
the first
horrible.
Maria Menounos. I think Mark pulled it. Anyway, she comes on, and she absolutely is yelling at us. When she first came out.
Yeah.
And it is like the biggest yuckster moment in the history. Listen, she sounds like one of those old radio people. She's talking at the end of this. Listen to this.
Hey, everyone, I'm Maria Menounos. And until then, Billy Bush, Chris Connolly, and I will be making every second count out here on the world's most action-packed red carpet. We'll be here bringing you all the arrivals.
Why are you yelling?
All the incomparable glitz and glamour that is Oscar night. We'll be your personal escort from the limos down the red carpet into the theater and guide you right into the best seat in the house.
Oh, brother. And somebody hit her with a tranquilizer dart.
I know. And then the third guy, the gray-haired guy, he was maybe the least annoying. And, I mean, he was annoying. He actually at one point said somebody was competish for someone. I was like, get these people off my TV. It was so
what
bad.
A stupid phrase. Competition.
You know what was cool on E? E was doing a running competition between the hottest chicks.
Yeah.
And they were giving them scores.
You could
do it on the computer or whatever? Was that how they were doing that?
Yeah, you can. Earlier on, you can on your cell phone do the text.
Okay.
Like C for so-and-so or...
That was great.
Push B for that, yeah.
Because I found myself really agreeing. Jennifer Garner looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she looked really good.
Asking about her body.
Oh, yeah, I know. And you know, Jennifer Garner's funny. I was like, oh, is she hot? Oh, my God, is she hot? And then I was like, oh, do I hate her when she goes, oh, my big bazoom.
Oh.
I hate the word bazoom for one. And then second of all, as a connoisseur of tubes, her tubes are not that big. You know, they're decent. Don't get me wrong. She's hot as hell. But, you know, for her to be talking about, she should be proud of her big tubes. Well, let's bring Scarlett Johansson up and have a little comparative
put you in
your place.
Right. There was lots of, oh, my God, the boobs on display. It was unbelievable.
Angelina Jolie did the same thing. She took me from, like, wow, is she hot, too? Oh, shut up. When she said, I feel sexy.
Oh, these people.
And Jolie then, when Billy Bush got done with her, he's like, hey, when you get up, why don't you wave to me? And she just blew him off so bad.
Of course.
She just, like, strolls off,
of
like,
course.
Her eyes.
That guy, what a total drag.
I know, he is such a drag.
I know it. Oh, the other thing, Mickey, talking about Mickey Rooney was absolutely hilarious watching the E pregame.
Oh, I didn't see him.
It was so ridiculous. Joan was, I'm trying to think who she was interviewing. It was right after Jude Law, this chick, came up. Anyway, Mickey Rooney was standing behind this girl, obviously wanting to get interviewed. And he didn't know the camera could see him. So he's standing there, and this is what he's doing with his mouth.
Licking his lips.
Yeah,
doing some strange contortion with his mouth.
It's horrible. And he keeps doing it over and over and over.
Oh, is that weird?
Through the whole interview. And he's just as plain as day. And Joan starts to extend the interview because clearly she knows he wants to be interviewed. Uh-huh. And she doesn't want to talk to him. So she keeps extending the interview with the woman, hoping he'll go away. So she's like inventing all these questions that by now you're like, oh, Joan doesn't care about this. She's hoping Mickey will be on his way. And so finally, when she's done with the woman, they cut to commercials. When they came back, no Mickey.
No Rooney?
They got him out of there.
You know what they did? And they interviewed him during commercials and he thought he was on TV.
I'm thinking that that's what happened.
Well,
I swear to God.
Knowing that we've done the same thing.
I know. That's what I told Trisha. Because just when the second she was done with that woman and they were starting to go to commercials, you saw Mickey start to push his way around the girl to get in front. And then, yeah, he was gone on the way back.
That's funny.
Yeah, I told Trish, I'll bet you they did. That's exactly what they did.
Mark's on the extension from the production studio. What were you calling it? Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, the thing about Jennifer Garner and asking her about her body is she used to be a major workaholic where like she worked out like 8 hours a day, and I want to say she was anorexic or bulimic too.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she had to go to some kind of like workaholics like rehab or something like that,
right,
too.
Well, they probably have that.
Like way back in the day.
Oh, so, yeah, because she asked her if it was jeans or, you know, she worked out or whatever, and she kind of downplayed that a little bit.
Well, I was just waiting for Jennifer Garner to snap when she said that, you know, and go back into remission or something.
Did you catch her big bazoom remark, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best pregame moment, though, would you see Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
If Mike wants to put in 20285, it's the biggest UUU moment.
Oh, what did she say?
Did he get it? Just punch it in there, Mikey.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay, here it is.
All right,
the nicest thing that's happened to me this entire year is that my friends are so happy for me. My friends are so... my friends have wept because they're happy for me because they love me and they know that I've worked hard.
Shut up. And this is going to go on about Christopher Guest, of course.
I know. And listen, dye your hair and shut up.
Too.
I know. Get out of there with your gray hair.
Oh.
I know, with your stupid boy haircut and everything else. We know you have clock weights. And we know about all of that, your past, and you're a man, you're in anatomy books at Wayne State.
God, set of tubes.
Please dye your hair.
Oh, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about this all
morning. I know. We haven't even started yet.